Okay, part two. How to protect yourself against plagues and pestilences. Let's look at the foundation scripture, Psalm 91, verses 1 to 16. I want three people to read. The first person will read from verses 1 to 6. The second person will read from verses 7 to 11. And then the third person will finish the rest of it. Okay, praise God. You can see that that chapter assures us of divine protection, especially in situations like this. Psalm 91 is a passage that you should encourage all your church members to read and properly understand. But there are some few things I want to pick out from there. Look at verse 1. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, the word dwell is very important. There's a difference between a dweller and a visitor. Yes, it didn't say he that visited the secret place of the Most High. It said he that dwelleth. So, we will take a look at that later. He's talking about dwelling. So that somebody doesn't just read this and say, "Yes, I'm born again." That means I'm covered. He's talking about he that dwelleth. There are some key principles here. We'll come back to that later. But this passage is a foundation passage that we will refer to again and again. But then now let's go ahead. He said, "Discuss the following spiritual armor that a child of God should employ to defend himself or herself against pestilences and plagues." Now, we want to look at the different types of weapon that a child of God must learn to take on in order to be protected from pestilences and diseases. Like I said earlier, the fact that you are born again does not necessarily mean that you are automatically safe except you know how to protect yourself. For instance, there are so many examples we can use to illustrate that. I don't think I should go into that, but let just for the sake of somebody who might be wondering how that can be, you will see that even in the Old Testament, when God will protect his people, he will give them conditions for protection. When he wanted to judge Egypt, the people have to do something to stay safe. So the fact that they were God's people did not automatically mean that they were safe. There were certain things they needed to do so that, for instance, like the destruction of the firstborn will not touch them, and so on and so forth. We'll come to some of that later. Now let's go ahead. We'll say the first one there, the first armor that the child of God should take on in order to stay safe in the face of pestilence or disease is a godly walk. A godly walk. It says this means living a God-pleasing life. Now, the point we are making here is that when a believer learns to live godly, when a believer learns to live godly and live the way he's supposed to live, walk the way he's supposed to walk, in obedience to the word of God, led by the Spirit of God, that believer is under protection. He says, "Why do you think this is a weapon against pestilences and plagues?" Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. Somebody read 1 John 5, 18. Another person read Ecclesiastes 10, 8. Yeah? Okay. You see there, it says that the one who is born of God keeps himself, and the evil one cannot harm him. You see, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So, keeping yourself means you keep yourself in God. You walk in God. And as you do that, the devil cannot touch you because you are walking in a dimension that he cannot operate on. So, when a child of God is living like he should live, the devil finds it difficult to park in his compound. Did you get that? Okay, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. "Anyone that breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite." Now the hedge represents the protection that God puts around his people. Remember the case of Job? When the devil wanted to attack Job, he complained to God that he could not reach Job because there was a hedge of protection around Job. Now the Bible says if somebody breaks the hedge, that is, if a child of God begins to do things that he's not supposed to do, he will open the door, he will break the hedge. It will destroy his protection. And when that happens, the serpent is ready to bite that person. And who is the serpent? the devil. He's the snake. Right from Genesis chapter 3, you see he came in through the serpent. And in Revelation, the Bible refers to him as the serpent. So when you break the hedge, if a child of God is not living according to the word of God, he is playing a dangerous game because he's opening the door for the serpent to come in. And when the serpent comes, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He will bite. Look at Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 7. Okay, you can see that. It says, all that found them, devoured them. And then the enemy say, even though we are destroying them, we are not doing anything wrong. After all, they were the ones that departed from their God. So when a child of God departs from God, when a child of God goes astray from God, the destroyer will take advantage of the situation. And when he's destroying such believers, he will say, look, I'm not doing anything wrong. After all, they were the ones that left their God. Can you imagine that? That's what the devil does. So our disobedience is the devil's bonus. When a child of God goes away from God and begin to do what he's not supposed to do, even before God brings punishment, the devil is the one that will first of all begin to slap that person. He say, why did you depart from your God? So that tells you that when we live right, when we are walking according to the word of God, when we are living the way we are supposed to be living, keeping sin away from our lives, the devil has no right to touch us. Now, that's very important. That's very important. Okay, look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2. Righteousness delivers from death. When you are walking in righteousness, the forces of death cannot take hold of you because you are delivered. Righteousness delivers from death. Righteousness means practically walking according to God's word. When you are doing that, it delivers you from death. It delivers you from destruction. All these plagues and pestilences, they are agents of destruction. But the Bible says righteousness delivers from death. Now, we are referred there also to Psalm 91 verses 1 to 7. Let's look at it again. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Like I said, this is not a believer that pays visit to God. This is somebody who has decided, for me, it is Jesus forever. For me, it is to live for God. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm totally sold out to God. That is the one that is dwelling. He abides in God. God is his method. God is his way. God is what he thinks about when he wakes up. God is the way he goes about his lifestyle. That is the one that is dwelling. That one is not just a visitor, that one dwells. So, and this promise here is for those who dwell, not those who visit God's house. There are people who visit church once in a while, and there are people who are holy when they are in church. The moment they leave church, they turn to something else. Those ones are not dwellers. You see, it's this promise in Psalm 91 are for people that dwell, that have sold out themselves totally to God, to Jesus Christ, to walk with God as long as they live. These ones are dwellers in the secret place of the Most High. Now the question is, what is the secret place of the Most High? Because it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. We ought to know what the secret place of the Most High is. Because if you don't know what the secret place is, how can you dwell there? So you need to know what the secret place of the Most High is before you can dwell in the secret place. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. He say, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is the place God hides things. Jesus is the secret place of the Most High. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Your life is hid with Christ in God. So when he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place, what's the secret place? That's where you hide things. The secret place is where you hide things. So in Psalm 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High is Jesus Christ. So when you are born again, you are giving your life to Christ, you are totally committed to the Lord, then this chapter is referring to such people. They are the ones that are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and they will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now that word shadow there implies covering. the covering of the Almighty. Now, let me say that God's shadow is not darkness. God's shadow is light. Human shadow is darkness. When you say it's a shadow, you see darkness. But God's shadow is light. Now, that's important to understand. So, all around you, you may not see any shadow, but you know you are under the shadow of the Almighty as long as you are in Christ and you are dwelling in Him. And one thing about God's shadow is that plagues and pestilences cannot dwell there. Psalm 91 verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Now notice something there. This is a dweller. I will say. So these people who dwell, they have a language. They have a way to talk. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Now that's very important. Those who are there saying, oh, Ebola is coming and I don't know whether I'm going to be the next person. Such people are destroying the hedge of protection because they are speaking with their mouth what will open the door for the enemy. But these ones that know how to dwell, they know how to speak the word of protection. They know how to speak in accordance with the word of God. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And when you do like that, then verse 3 says, surely, if you are living like that, surely He will deliver you from the snare or from the danger of the fowler. A fowler is somebody who goes about hunting down birds. Birds are also called fowls. So the one who goes about, a hunter that goes about shooting down birds, is called a fowler. He says, He shall deliver thee from the snare or from the danger of the hunter and from the noisome pestilence. A noisome pestilence is a plague or a disease that is making waves all over the place. People hear about it all over the place, like Ebola. Ebola is a noisome pestilence. Here is a sure word that God will deliver those who dwell in His secret place from Ebola. Very important. So teach your people this. There's a promise in the word of God that as long as they stay in Christ and abide in Him and walk in Him, they will be delivered from the noisome pestilence. Ebola is a noisome pestilence because the news of Ebola is all around the world. So it's making a lot of noise. But here is a promise that people who dwell in the secret place of the Most High will be delivered from the noisome pestilence. He says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. So you are looking at the dweller now. He says, He shall cover you with what? With His feathers. The picture He's giving you there is that of a hen that is trying to protect its chicks from the hawk. If you ever went to the village, you will see that every now and again, a hawk will come around looking for food. But the moment the hawk appears, immediately the mother hen will get the signal and then will make a noise and all the chicks will run to under its feathers. All the chicks that are under the feather of the hen will not be touched by the hawk. So the Bible is talking about the dweller here. If you dwell in God, then He will spread that hand of protection around you. And the hawk called Ebola will not touch such people. Now that's very important. Before I went to the city, I used to live in the village. Sometimes you will see a chick that is very far away from the mother hen. And so when there's a hawk that is coming, the mother hen will give a signal. Those that are close to the mother hen will run underneath the feathers of the mother hen. But the one that is far away is normally the one that becomes an easy prey for the hawk. So you see, we are talking about dwelling there. Even though it's a chick, even though it's supposed to be protected by its mother, because it's not dwelling close to the mom, it exposes itself. That is a picture of a believer who is not walking close to God. He exposes himself. So he can be born again, can be speaking in tongues. But if he's not walking close to God, he throws the door open to the hawk. Is everybody understanding? Amen. Now, it says in verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. So you can see something there. Once you can just make sure that you are walking a godly walk and walking close to God and dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, all these blessings will be there. You can see that divine protection is guaranteed. Now verse 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. He says you will see people dying, you will hear of them dying. He says, don't come near you. Why? Because you are under a covering. An invisible shadow covers you because you know how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 19. You can see what the Lord is saying there. That message is to a born-again church. But many of them were lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. They said they are Christians, but their Christian life is very cold. He said they have run after some other things instead of running after Him, the Almighty God. He said that they are naked. Even though they are Christians, they are naked. So when a believer is not walking a godly walk, he's walking in spiritual nakedness. And the devil can smell somebody who is walking naked. It's very, very important that a child of God learns to walk close to God. It says, suggest ways in which a believer can ensure a God-pleasing life. Let's look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. You see what God is saying there? It says, if you will be obedient to me and walk close to me and obey my word, He said, I will protect you from the diseases of Egypt. They saw the plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians. God says, none of that will touch you. He says, as long as you are walking close to me, He says, I will take the position of the one that heals you, that protects you from sicknesses and diseases. I won't be the one putting sickness and disease on you. So you see that when we walk close to God, not only does God not allow His judgment to come upon us, He actually backs us up against the attempt that the enemy will try to make to bring any disease upon us. So that's wonderful. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Okay, thank you. What of 2 Corinthians 13, 5? Okay, thank you. Now, you can see in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, remember that we are trying to answer the question. It says, suggest ways in which a believer can ensure a God-pleasing walk. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, we see there that it is by keeping the word of God, by obeying the word of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it is by self-examination. We need to examine ourselves, because that is when you'll be able to realize if you are walking in error or not. So a believer needs to do some self-examination. At a time like this, when there's a plague in the land, every child of God needs to examine himself and find out whether he's actually walking according to God's ways or is departed from God. It is a dangerous thing for a child of God to be living far away from God at a time like this, especially in a place like Sierra Leone where there is a killer disease in the land. Self-examination is important. Don't wait for the pastor to point it out. Don't wait for somebody to say, hey, you are doing the wrong thing. You examine yourself. And if you know that the way you are living is not right, you quickly put it right so that the enemy will not take advantage of you. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when that is done, the door is shut against the devourer. It's not a question of trying to defend yourself when you are doing the wrong thing. You confess it and say, Lord, I did that wrong, and I know it is wrong. Your word says it's wrong. Forgive me. You confess it. That's what a child of God should do. Some people will never confess that they are doing anything wrong. Even when you catch them red-handed, they defend and defend and defend. That's an error. God is not confused. He knows when you are doing the right thing and when you are not. So don't wait for God to convince you. Once you know you are not doing the right thing, you quickly ask Him to cleanse you and forgive you, and He will. Look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. It says, he that covers his own sin shall not prosper, but anyone who confesses and forsakes them, that's the one that will find mercy. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, it tells us to confess our sins. But in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, we are told that it's not just enough to confess it, but also to forsake it. You turn away from it. Tell God you are sorry and then turn away from it. It says, when somebody does like that, he will find mercy. Look at Romans chapter 12 verse 11. Thank you. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That is another way to ensure that we walk this walk, by making sure that we are fervent, we are zealous for God, we are not lukewarm, we are not cold. Every believer should make effort to wake up at this time and be a serious Christian, a zealous Christian, not a lukewarm Christian. When you are zealous and you are serious with God, then you will be able to receive all the benefit of divine protection. Hallelujah. You see, that point that we just discussed, a godly walk can make up one study. You should not overload the people. You should not overload them. That one should be enough for a study. So you take it little at a time. Don't spend too long so that people can get understanding of what you are teaching.